Okay, friends. It's so good to have everyone here and excited to talk with one another. Can have you guys grab a seat. Please. Thank you. Well, welcome, everyone. So great to see you all here. And what we'd like to do is especially welcome the first-time visitors. If there's anyone here that's for the first time, could you please raise your hand and we will welcome you and acknowledge you, and we have a special vacation package for you. I'm just kidding. No. So anyone here for the first time, could you please raise your hand? Yes, back there. Welcome. Other new time visitors. Yes, if you could please fill those out and place the forms in the offertory when they come by, that would be fantastic. Okay, I'm going to have Luke come up here. We have an announcement regarding Vacation Bible School.
I guess I don't have to say much. It's all up there. This year's Vacation Bible School will be held August 9th through 13th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's noon. We can use helpers, a lot of games, crafts. We need a lot of help with that. So next week in your inserts, there'll be like a sign-up list, I guess, for you guys next week. If you guys want to help out, we would appreciate it. Anytime, too. You guys don't have to come every single day, but we can just use all the help we can with the kids. So it'll be fun. And if you guys want to invite kids, we are going from ages first grade to sixth grade. So that's kids going into first grade and kids going into sixth grade. Thanks.
Thank you, Luke. Okay, well, we have prayer meetings once a month, every Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, and we need some help. See, what we have is we want people to come, but oftentimes they're concerned regarding childcare and not having some childcare during the prayer meeting. So we are asking for volunteers to provide childcare during the Wednesday evenings. Oh, yeah, Wednesday evenings, as well as the one Saturday a month that we have our leadership meeting. So if you're interested in providing childcare for the prayer Wednesday night once a month or the Saturday once a month, please see Pastor Tim, and we would be greatly appreciative and indebted to you. Okay, if we also have anyone who was not able to make it to the leadership meeting in last week's leadership meeting, we're going to have a meeting in the service in the chapel to discuss about the building. We would like to hear any feedback regarding that. So it would be immediately after the service in the chapel, and we'll talk about the building. That includes myself. I have to go there too. Also, we have on Saturday, July 24th, please mark it on your calendars, from 4:30 to 6 p.m., we have Reverend Joel King. He's the first cousin of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he's going to be coming along with the Vice President of International Justice Mission, Jim Martin. And they're going to be welcoming 14 cyclists who are biking 1,800 miles across the U.S., retracing the route of the historic Underground Railroad to fight human trafficking. And there's going to be more details that comes from VU next week. And we were just looking for your support to be there as well. I mean, can you imagine we're going to have our stop is going to be the final stop in that leg of churches that are involved, and we just would like not to have an empty church when Joel King comes to speak. We'd like to have and show him our support and support the fight against human trafficking. So please mark it on your calendar, Saturday, July 24th. Please pray for three of our InterVarsity students, John Herring, Victor Liu, and Amy Shane. They are ministering in the Garbage Collectors Community of Cairo, Egypt. They will be serving there until the end of July. And there should be a slide containing more prayer points. Yes, okay. Fantastic. So you guys can read those. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for the offering and pray for Pastor Rich as he brings the message. Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you provided to us. And Lord, we pray that you would use this offering for your glory, for your purpose, to advance the kingdom, to do your work. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done in and through our lives. May we give it back to you. May we use our lives as instruments of righteousness for your glory. Lord, we want to pray for Pastor Rich as he brings the message. We pray for open hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us through him. We pray that you would give Rich the words to speak, things that would come only from you, Heavenly Father, and that you would speak and move, transform, and convict us, Heavenly Father, to walk more and more in your will. We thank you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be back with you. I was gone for a couple weeks on a 10-day out west trip with 33 people, 27 international students, and 6 helpers. We went out to 8 national parks in the western part of the United States. It was a marvelous time. I forgot to bring you some pictures to show you of the trip, but if you check out my Facebook, you can see some of the pictures. And it was a great time of building relationships with students and some spiritual sharing and just beholding the beauty of God's creation. And so I just am thankful for those of you who were remembered or were able to pray for us during that time. And these trips are often significant in the ministry that we have to international students in terms of building the types of relationships where we can share our lives together. Yeah, thanks. It's good to be back. And we are going through a study of the book of Mark to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus, in the beginning of Mark, gives an invitation to some people that were present at that time, and he invited them to come and follow him. And what does it look like to follow Jesus? And for us today, some of you may be considering what to follow Jesus. What does it look like? And for those of us who've made that decision, we need to track to see whether or not we're actually following Jesus in the way that he wants, in a biblical way. And so as we get these glimpses in the book of Mark of what it looks like to follow Jesus, we're asking that God would convict our hearts and help us to move into a closer relationship, and that ultimately we would be very fruitful in following Jesus. So let's go ahead and pray before we read the passage today. Lord, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us through your word, that your will has become clear, that you show us the path of righteousness, that you break open truth to us, that your word is full of life. And so we pray that today it would do its good work. Lord, that today it would find good hearts, that today hearts would be opened to the power that's in your word. And we pray that you remove obstacles from our mind and distractions and reveal wrong ideas and wrong thoughts and convict us of sin that we might change. We invite you to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus, in your name, amen. Okay, if you have a Bible or in front of you there's a Bible, we're not going to post it up here today on the screen. It's Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore of the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And while he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other fell on rocky places where there was not much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Still others fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they bore no grain. Still others, other seed, fell on good soil, which came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you be able to understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." If you have any familiarity with stories Jesus told, probably you are very familiar with this story. It's a very simple story, and yet Jesus has something very important to teach us through this story. It can be divided into four simple parts: the story itself, the exhortation, the question, and then the explanation. So we're going to look at those four parts. So let's start with the story itself that Jesus tells about a farmer who goes out to sow seed. Now, those of you who have heard this story many times and you already know the meaning of the story, you have got to put yourself in the situation where here is Jesus telling the story and you're listening. This story, around Jesus in that time, people were very familiar with agriculture. Most of them were farmers. Most of them knew what it was to go out and sow seed. Maybe even around them, as Jesus was talking, they could look and see people in the fields. So when Jesus tells this story, there is nothing remarkable about the story at all. In fact, when Jesus is done with the story, someone could have said, "So what?" I mean, yeah, a farmer goes out and he scatters a seed and it goes in different soils and, yeah. You know, it'd be kind of like, the only clue that there's something special about the story is at the beginning and at the end when Jesus says, "Listen." Okay, you know, this is something you should pay attention to. But imagine I came to you today and I said, "Now listen, I have a story to tell you. A friend of mine went shopping yesterday. First, he went to the grocery store and he bought some food. Then, he went to the hardware store and bought some nails. Then he went to the mall and got some clothes. And finally, he went to the gas station and put some gas in his car." You'd be like, "Yeah?" Right? Okay. Is there something that I missed in the story? You know, there's no surprise ending to Jesus' story. There's no, like, remarkable detail that's hidden in there, like some clue that, oh, you know, this is like the mystery story that, you know, there's some hidden clue and you're going to figure out. There's nothing about the story that is special or different than what people would have known about. But then, if you did not catch that this was an important story based on Jesus' opening statement, then he gives you another opportunity to understand how important it is by saying, at the end of the story, he says, "Let him who has ears to hear, hear." Okay? I think I heard the story, But I can imagine, what was Jesus' inflection? We don't get inflections when we read the story. But I can imagine he's telling the story and people are listening. And then he maybe had a change in his voice. Now he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so you're still trying to track, all right? Well, here's the reality to this. God is giving everybody an opportunity to learn truth. You know, God wants everyone to have that opportunity. Listen here to how God paints his voice through the book of Proverbs. This is what it's like. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? It says, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. So Jesus is giving an exhortation for us to pay attention. But then he says something in here in the question. In verse 10, the disciples come to him with a question, and the people around him, they ask him, what is the meaning of the parable? Now here is a great encouragement to us who read the Bible, if you don't understand it the first time you're reading it. These guys are almost like, since they don't know the meaning of the story, in a sense what they're saying is, Jesus, I am the hard soil. I don't understand anything. They didn't realize they were saying it like that, but actually they were not hard soil, because the difference is that people who don't understand, who go to Jesus for understanding. When there's something difficult we don't get, if we go to Jesus and want to know more, that is the sign of wisdom. And the problem with many people who read the Bible and they don't understand it is they close it and they say it's too difficult and they just give up. That is not the way that God wants us to respond when we don't understand them. We should ask questions. We should seek it out. We should go to people and try and get help from them. And most of all, we should pray for wisdom and understanding. And Jesus was actually preparing these guys to be good soil. But now let's focus on the explanation in verses 11 to 20. Verses 11 and 12 are what I call stay awake at night verses. I know some people say at night if they read the Bible that it puts them to sleep. But when I read verses 11 and 12, I lay there at night awake, just thinking about the verses over and over again. Because basically what verses 11 and 12 seem to be saying is that God is making it difficult for people to understand. That basically the message is being presented so that people will not understand what he wants them to know. Now those are difficult stay awake at night verses where you're saying, why did Jesus say that? What could he have meant? Could he really mean it? And you stay awake all night, like going over those verses. Now, maybe some of you don't do that. That's the type of thing I would do. I just lie there thinking about verses 11 and 12. But the thing is that there was many people in the crowd that day who had their own personal agendas about why they were there. Some of them were there because they wanted Jesus to do something for them. Some of them were there because they were hoping to see a miracle. Some of them were there just out of curiosity, like, hey, what's going on here with this big gathering here? Let me go check it out. Some of them had a political agenda, and they wanted to impose that agenda on Jesus. There was all sorts of reasons why people were in the crowd there that day. And regularly, that's the case for people in life, that people want something from God. They don't want God himself. They don't want God's rulership in their lives. They don't want necessarily the truth. They want something from God. And that was the case there. And what Jesus is doing is kind of like a filtration system. His story is like a filtration system where the people who get through the story are the people who really want to know. What Jesus is not meaning is that he doesn't want people to really understand. What he's saying is that there's some people who don't want to understand, and God isn't going to give it to them in the way that they expect, lest they misuse the truth, yet lest they come to God just on their own terms. He's saying, so he's telling stories so that the people who really want to know are going to get a chance to know. So the reality is, the reason, according to Jesus, why there are end up being three soils that are unproductive is because there are hearts that are bad. And so one of the things that we are seeing in this story is Jesus is giving a test for people's hearts. And one of the first tests was, did they want to know more? See, the people who stayed afterwards, like these disciples, said, now Jesus, explain it to me. Tell me, what are you talking about? That already was a test. Some of the people who heard the story said, wow, is this it? Is this what I came out here for? Man, this guy's nothing. I'm going home. Okay? Some of them said, this is not what I was expecting. Come on, do a miracle. Do something. Produce some bread for us. Is that all he's going to do, tell stories about farmers? You know, I'm not hanging around. So Jesus was testing people's hearts. And then further, when he gives the explanation of the story, now he's really going to explain the hearts of people. And so as we look at Jesus' explanation of these four soils, we have an opportunity today to have God examine our hearts. Because you are supposed to, and every time Jesus tells a story, you are in the story somewhere. And when you hear the story, you should be able to say, where am I? So let's look at what Jesus says. He says there's a farmer that goes out to sow seed. He says the farmer, he doesn't identify in this case, he just says there's a farmer. Now in other stories, we know that Jesus referred to himself as the farmer. But he doesn't identify himself here because actually the emphasis is not on the farmer in this story, even though our emphasis should always be on Jesus. He's not putting the emphasis on the farmer. He's putting the emphasis on the seed and the soils. The issue is not the farmer in this particular case. Now, some of you may say, well, why does Jesus do that? I think we'll see as we go along. And we see that the seed is God's words. So we got someone who's sharing God's words, someone who's scattering the word of God. That's what's going on here. The word of God is going out through this person. Now, ultimately, Jesus is the one who's sharing God's word, but all of us, when we become followers of Jesus, we also become farmers. We are also to be scattering God's word. So it's not just Jesus. It's Jesus and his followers that scatter his words. And as the words are scattered, we're told that the soil represents the human heart and that there are four types of hearts that are identified. It's very interesting in psychological and personality studies. If you do a search about categorizations of people, the most common categorization of personality types and others is always grouped into four groups. Did you know that? Like Myers-Briggs, you know, four basic avenues to gauge personality on. You have also the Tim LaHaye is very popular in the Christian community. He talks about four basic personality types. And all sorts of things are put into grids with, you know, an axis this way and an axis this way, and you end up with four types. It's kind of interesting that Jesus grouped people into four types because that's a pretty consistent model that's used for evaluating people and where they're at. Well, the first type of soil that is talked about is the person who has a hard heart. The hard path is representative of a hard heart. And this person does not receive God's word, and as a result of that, Satan ends up taking any understanding or wisdom away from that person to understand who God is because they do not want the word of God to come into their life and into their heart. And what does a hard heart look like? You know, the Old Testament has numerous stories to teach us what a hard heart is like. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they went through the desert and God tested them, it says about them that they had a hard heart. They would not receive what God wanted to give them. They would not believe God when God told them something. They would not enter into the promised land when God said, go into the promised land. They reacted with unbelief. They reacted with cynicism. They reacted with negativity, with criticism. That is a hard heart. A hard heart becomes cynical toward God, so it says, God cannot really expect me to do that. God cannot really be serious about that. I don't know if I can really believe that. That is a hard heart. Listen to what it says about those people who went through the desert in Hebrews 3, 7 to 12. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years. This is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Here is a powerful explanation of what a hard heart is. A sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God. Now, this is very important. When this scripture is written in Hebrews, did you notice who was being addressed? This was not being addressed to people who had never known God. It says, brothers, see to it that none of you have this type of heart. The reality is, even people who come to know God can develop a hard heart, where after following God for a while, something happens and you no longer are receiving what God has to say. And hard hearts develop naturally when there's not much moisture. You know, ground, all you have to do is stop getting the rain falling on the ground. Let the sun come out, no moisture, and the ground hardens. And if you are not being watered by God's Spirit, the natural tendency is always to go to a hard heart. And so Jesus warns about this condition and tells us that we will become susceptible to Satan blinding our mind to God if we have a hard heart. Now, there's good news. The good news is that hard hearts can be softened. The reality is that this soil that's hard can change. You can find a place of ground that is so tough, you know, it's just caked. But you start to water that thing, you get a plow out, you get an axe out, and I usually don't use an axe, but, you know, anything to break up the soil. And when the soil is broken up, it can become, the seed can get in. God wants to take hard hearts, and he wants to break them up. And he does that in different ways. You say, wow, some of the difficulties that God allows in our life is for the purpose of breaking our hard hearts so that we don't keep resisting God. Now, sometimes, as we see in the next story, difficulties turn people away from God. But God can use difficulties to break our hard hearts. Also, unusual acts of kindness can break through a hard heart. Those of you who know me well will know that one of my favorite movies is Rocky. But another favorite movie is Les Miserables. Whatever, I can never get it right. Anyway, this guy comes out of prison after having stolen a loaf of bread when he was hungry for his family, and he gets put in prison for all these years, and he's mistreated miserably in prison. And when he comes out, I mean, he's a tough guy. I mean, he doesn't care about anybody. I mean, he's just has a defensiveness, and he is so hard. And he goes to the house of someone, a minister, a priest who invites him in. And his hard heart, man, he just steals the guy's silver and he takes off. And he's caught and he's brought back, and he knows that what's going to happen to him is he's going to be put back into that same rotting prison. And that what's going to happen. But what happens? That priest says, oh, no, no. I gave him the silver. Let him go. And that action just broke the guy's heart. It's just like, I've not experienced something like this before. Why is this man treating me like that? And what God wants to do is to bring us into instances where our hard heart is broken because his kindness comes to us in such a way is that we realize, wow, how could God treat me like this? That is when the grace of God comes through into our lives and can break hard hearts. And sometimes God wants us to be that vehicle of His grace. Sometimes when we start to help people in life, and they're so hard, and they're inflexible, and they're so cynical, and we're like, I don't want to be close to that type of a person. But God wants us to go to people with hard hearts and show kindness to them so their hearts can be broken and the Word of God can get into their lives. Hard hearts can change. Secondly, Jesus talks about the heart that's shallow or superficial. This is the type of person that has an emotional response to God because they hear that God can do something for them and they say, I want that. I would like some forgiveness. But they're also hoping that if they follow God, that their life is going to get a lot easier and they're going to become more successful. And God is basically going to help them obtain their goals in life. Yeah, I want God if God can help me. But this person, the conviction about who God is and the reality of taking up our cross daily and following Him is not part of their understanding of discipleship. So this person, when difficulties come in their life, when trouble comes to them, they conclude that it's not working. That whatever was seemingly good when they responded isn't good anymore. And so they stop following Jesus at that time. Difficulties and trouble in our life are always going to test us to see whether or not God's word is getting down deep enough into our life that we can trust it during those times of trouble. We need to be able to see through the Psalms and through the life of Jesus and the early disciples what it looks like to go through trouble with the conviction that God still loves me. That what can separate me from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. There is nothing in all of creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And when we have that conviction in our heart, when we have that reality of the cross of Jesus Christ and what He did for us, when we have the understanding of the love of God as being unlimited for us, we won't be like this person who has such a shallow understanding of God and where the Word of God does not get into them to change them. So the question is there some things that are not going well for you in your life that makes your faith weak? Are you the type of person that as long as it's going okay, you like God, and when things are not going okay, you don't like God? Are you the type of person that says, as long as I get something from God, I'll follow Him, but if He doesn't, you know, really come through for me, then I'll just put Him to the side? If that's the case, you are an unfruitful person in your spiritual life. Jesus is saying, you do not have the quality of heart that God wants. Now, God can also take the rocky places, and He can remove rocks. You know, some of the most fertile farmland in the United States at one time had huge rocks in it. When they first went out to the Midwest and started, they had to clear the land. It wasn't ready. They had to like pull these boulders out. They had to like clear all these rocks out of the land. And then it became fruitful. And for some of you, you know, God just wants to help pull all those rocks out of you. All those obstacles. And all those things that make it difficult for God's word to go deep into your heart. God wants us to examine our hearts to see if we are like this soil. The third type of soil is the type of soil that represents the heart that is preoccupied with the things of this life. It is a divided heart. This is the type of person that says they want God, but when it comes to really living their life, they still conclude that they need to depend on themselves for what they need. This is the type of person that is preoccupied with the things of this life, with their careers, with obtaining money, with getting success, with having an enjoyable life, and they cannot see how God would affect that. They don't want God to affect that part of their life. And so they basically say, I've got to go after it myself. I can't trust God with these things. I mean, after all, we've got to be practical. We've got to live in this world. We need money. We need relationships. You know, I got to have fun. And I certainly don't, God certainly doesn't want to stop me from those things. So I believe in God, but I'm going to pursue all these things with my heart. This Jesus statement, when he says, the seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked it. That ought to grab our attention. That ought to arrest our heart to say, am I being choked? Is the word of God being choked out of my life? On Friday night, IFI had a picnic in the park, and we had a couple hundred international students there. I had an opportunity to see a student that I had not seen for a while, and I had heard that he had become a follower of Jesus and had been baptized, and he'd been part of my Bible study group, but was in another group now, and so I hadn't had a chance to follow along his progress. So I asked him, you know, so how's it going with, since you've been baptized, how's it going with your growth in Jesus? He said, well, I haven't been really going to that group. Oh, I said, oh, I would have contacted you if I knew you weren't going to that group. I said, when was the last time you were there? He said, 6 months ago. I said, wow. I said, well, are you reading the Bible on your own? He said, no. I said, why? He said, you know, I got to graduate, and I got a lot of pressure with my studies, and so for the last 6 months, I've been pressing into getting ready for my graduation. Now, I could have said to him, you have a thorny heart. I didn't do it. But that was the reality. The cares of his studies had choked out the word of God. Now, some of you are saying, Rich, you're being so hard. You're being so critical of this guy. Don't you understand what it's like to be a graduate student, international student, studying this? I understand. God does not give an exemption to you. I mean, we all have choices to make about what's going to be important. The fact is, there's nothing spiritually going on in his life that's taking root because there's no time and attention and focus on the things of God. All of his time and attention are focused on him graduating. Now, Jesus has compassion on him, and I have compassion, but I know he can't have a fruitful spiritual life. The reality is, God has something beautiful prepared for the hearts that will receive his word, and it's pictured as a multiplication of 30, 60, or even 100. And these soils are not experiencing any of that. None of these three soils are bearing any fruit. That's the conclusion for all of these soils. Unfruitful. Is that the conclusion we want in our life? Unfruitful. Unprofitable. Not producing the things that God desires. So isn't producing desire when we study hard and work hard? If it's not combined with faith, if it doesn't produce righteousness, if it doesn't end up producing service to our fellow man, it doesn't matter. You get all the riches you want. You get all the degrees you want. If it's not focused on doing God's will, it will not last. Let us be clear what Jesus is saying here. And so, this heart allows God's word to be choked out. Now, some people will say, you don't mean that I have to give that up to follow Jesus. You don't mean I should work on this relationship to follow Jesus. You don't mean that I can't live together with my girlfriend or boyfriend or wait to have sex until I'm married. You don't mean that I have to do that to follow Jesus, do you? Yes, that's what Jesus would say. Well, let's test this out. I want to give you some test questions to see if you fit into one of these three types of soil. Okay? Okay. By the way, the conclusion, I think one of the conclusions from this story is that there's a lot of bad soil around. Right? Only 25% of the soil got the harvest. That means 75% was unprofitable. So there's a better chance you're in the 75% than in the 25%. That should be scary, right? Okay. All right, here's some ways to find out if you have good soil or not. If I was to ask you this simple question, what is it that Jesus is teaching you these days? What is it that he is speaking to you about obeying him? If you have no answer for that question, it's probably an indication that the Word of God is not getting into your heart. If I ask you, tell me some of the ways that God has changed you in the last year, would you have something to share? You see, the Word of God is always going to produce transformation in our life. And if there's no transformation, you are in the first three soils. If I ask you, when was the last time your obedience to God cost you time, relationship, resources, or goals? Could you give me an answer? If you have no word, no evidence of change, no clear obedience, it's an indication that there's a problem in your heart. And Jesus is identifying the problem with you. Either you have a shallow heart, you have a divided heart, or you have a hard heart. Now let's look at the last type of heart. I'm sure you're glad to get there. It's the good heart that bears much fruit. What are the characteristics of this heart? The characteristics of the good heart, according to Jesus, are one that perseveres. It's a heart that overcomes difficulties. It's a heart that resists temptations. It's a heart that overcomes Satan. It's a heart that receives God's word and acts on it. That's the word. That's a good heart. It listens and obeys Jesus. Wow. It's pretty simple. It's not too complicated. But it requires, again, by the way, this is the most simple discipleship program you can talk about. I think it's probably been talked about in these messages through Mark already, that Jesus is saying, you want to be a follower of mine? Here's what you have to do. You have to overcome difficulties. You want to be a follower of mine? You have to overcome temptation. You want to be a follower of mine? You've got to let Satan take God's word away from you. You want to be a follower of mine? You've got to obey what I teach you. That's it. That's the most simple discipleship. Jesus said, come, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's what a follower of Jesus is. That's what it means to follow Jesus, and Jesus is putting into this story. Now, let me tell you that the sower does not have a problem. Is this a bad sower in this story? Is this a bad farmer? Could you have said, man, you're a bad farmer. You threw seed and it landed 75% of it on bad soil. Can't you be a little more careful how you scatter the seed? You're wasting all that good seed, right? No, 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 no. I think the encouraging thing about the story is the farmer says, I am so interested in getting a return that I'm willing to scatter the seed far and wide so that it can find the good soil and have a result. Jesus, the words are going out to all the people, but not all the people will receive them. Now, this should have implication for us. One of the implications is, if you are a farmer, I don't mean, you know, that type of farmer. I mean, if you're sharing God's words, do not get discouraged by a lack of response from people. If Jesus says that only 25% of the soil was good, the problem is you don't always know what the good soil is. So I think the sower is scattering widely in order to get the harvest. So you ought to scatter the word of God widely in order to get a harvest. And if you share wide enough with enough people, you'll find the good soil. You want to make sure you don't miss the good soil. Another encouragement, as I mentioned, is soil can change. He's not only a farmer who scatters a seed, He's a farmer who fertilizes. He's a farmer who waters. He's a farmer who prunes. He's a farmer who breaks up soil. This is a great farmer, our God. And so, okay, don't just look at people and say, oh, hard heart, oh, shallow heart, oh, divided heart, forget them. No, no, that's not the goal of this story. God can change people. Now, the people who don't change are not yet into the good soil. So we need to pray for them. We need to try and water. We still scatter the seed to them and let God do his work. Now, I got one more practical implication for you, or application for you this week, and it's this. You know, I love to tell this story. I probably have told this story hundreds of times to people. It's one of my favorite stories to just share. In fact, when I was in the Grand Canyon, hiking down the path in the Grand Canyon, as I was walking, I said, hey, I have a story to tell you. A farmer went out to sow his seeds, and I told the story. Do you know, the interesting thing is probably of all the times I told the story, I don't think one person has ever gotten the meaning of the story. I mean, maybe it seems so clear to you after you read what Jesus explains, but just like I said, when you tell the story the first time, okay, so what? So then I think, I say, okay, this represents four kinds of people. Now let's talk about those kinds of people. What did Jesus mean? And then we unpack the story. And it's a wonderful time of sharing. I remember one of the people who on trips I especially tell this story. And one of the people who I share this story with, like, just put up the wall. Didn't want to ask questions about the story. And I said, okay. So about 4 years later, that person came to me and said, you remember 4 years ago you told me a story? I said, which one? She said, you told me the story about four kinds of soil. Well, I said, yeah, I tell that story a lot. She said, you know, when you told me that story, I was the hard soil. She put herself in the story. She said, but I have good news for you. I've become good soil, and I have received God's word. And so she began to follow Jesus. And that's beautiful. So she remembered the story, though. You know, and I think, so here's the challenge I want to give to you. Would you take time to learn to tell this story accurately? You don't have to memorize it, but you should know all the components of it very clearly and not miss any of them. And could you practice that story with someone this week? Just practice telling the story. And then after that, pray that God will give you an opportunity to share this story with someone in your lab, with someone in your workplace, with someone that you're walking along the road with some party that you're at, with some phone call that you have to somebody. Share it with your mom. Share it with your brother. Find somebody to share this story with. And I just think it would be great if we could come back next week. How many people are here? 150? If we have 150 times that this story is told this week, wouldn't that be neat? So I think what I almost would love to do is give you some practice time, because I'm afraid, you know, that when we don't act on it, you just go away and that. Why don't, right now, why don't you practice telling the story of someone? We'll do that for just a couple minutes. One of you in a pair can practice it, and the other person can look at the story and tell them if they miss some component. Now, you don't have to have the part of the story where Jesus' disciples came and asked him what it meant. Just tell the story and then give the explanation of the story. Okay? And have the book open for one person to test the story, okay? You go ahead and do that now. Tell the story. Okay, well, I'm so glad to see you working at it. And I know some of you are going to need to take more time to work at this. But you've gotten started. You know, maybe on the ride home, if you're someone in the car. Maybe over lunch, you could practice. I don't know. That's encouraging. Okay. I want to give you one more application here. This story is not only an identification of our hearts, but it gives us an opportunity to respond. If you have a hard heart today, you can come to God and say, "Oh God, soften my heart, help me." If you have a shallow heart, you can say, "God, I don't want to be a shallow person anymore. I really want to go on with you. Help me to change." You can come to God and ask God to do the work to change the soil of your heart. And I believe that there's some of you who are listening to this story today, that God is bringing conviction to you. That if you're honest, you know that you're not good soil completely. There's maybe part of you is good and part of you is like this other soil. And so there's a chance for you to repent. But I'm also going to want to give an invitation for those of you who have never received the invitation to follow Jesus, that you've heard it. You've been hearing the Word of God preached to you over and over again. You've been allowing God's Word to just settle there, but not to go deep into your heart, not to receive it with faith, that today you can respond. Because God has grace for you to respond today. So let's go ahead and pray, and I'll invite you to do that. Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful and simple story by which you expose our hearts, and you also give us the vision to become a fruitful person in our lives. A person whose word, when your word comes in, that it produces 30, 60, or even 100 times. Lord, I want to be that type of a person, Lord. I want to be a 30, 60, or 100-fold person. Now, I mentioned if you're here today and you have not received Jesus as your Lord, if you have not committed to follow him, and today through this message you realize that there's an invitation to follow him who died for you, that he died for your sins, for all of the shallowness in your life, for all of the time you've been preoccupied with things that are less than God, for the hardness of your heart, for the unbelief and the resistance that you have had to God. He died for all of that in order to bring you to God. And today that same Jesus is offering you an opportunity to come to him in faith. To say, "Jesus, I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your sacrifice. And I want to follow you." Is there anyone here who God is speaking to today and you would say yes today? That you want to really have good soil in your heart? Anyone here? You could just lift up your hand. Anyone? Lord, I just pray, just as you are a good farmer, to produce fruitful people, Lord, would you work with ANCF? Would you work with every person here, Lord? That instead of being 75% and 25%, Lord, somehow the percentage could change. Lord, somehow we could move and that there would be much fruit born through our lives for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it may be that, as I mentioned, you need to repent of some things, and we're going to have a worship and prayer time where you can come and pray with others. God is the one who searches the heart, and we just need to be with honesty before him, and we can do that in prayer. So I just invite you to respond. If God is speaking to you and you need to deal with something, come for prayer today. If there's some other need that you have, a health need, an emotional need that you'd like prayer for, there's an open invitation for you to come. So, ready? Okay. Why don't we go ahead and stand, and let's have the prayer ministry team available and ready. And if you would like prayer, just come now. Just come to the sides and come for prayer.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knee. Holy Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Holy Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that sees, seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Holy Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God of Jacob.
Again, God, we acknowledge that you are our God and we are your people, Lord. So, God, as you look over the soil of our hearts, in your mercy and in your kindness, God, would you water down your Spirit, pour it on those that hearts are dry.
Pour down your Spirit.
God, for those of us that who has your word planted in shallow soil, would you cause your seed of your word to go down deeper and deeper into the core of our hearts, to the core of the things that we believe, that we might live for your kingdom, that we might be willing to sacrifice the things of here on this earth for your sake, Jesus. God, and I pray especially for those who are choked by the thorns right now, God. God, that they're struggling and they're trying, and you know their hearts, and you know they want to serve you, Lord. God, would you be the kind gardener that you are and just prune the things around them, Lord God. God, would you allow them to bear more fruit for your glory's sake, Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Show me your paths, O Lord, for I am devoted to you. Purify my heart's desire. I long to be your servant. Teach me your way. Teach me your way, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Show me your paths, O Lord, for I am devoted to you. Purify my heart's desire. I want to be your servant. Give me an undivided heart that I may feel you near. Show me your paths, O Lord, for I am devoted to you. Purify my heart's desire.
Prayer, O Lord. Hear the song of our heart and the desire in our heart. And Lord, I pray for opportunities for people this week to share your word, to be good farmers who scatter seed. Lord, give us an opportunity to share this story this week. Now go in the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great sower of his word in your heart. May you bear good fruit this week. In Jesus' name, amen.